Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/Scorecard Plus for details.
The Bert Show.
We have been spending a lot of time on resolutions this week. Yesterday was all about you folks that have been promising yourself that you're going to stop smoking. Like Jen Hobbies had the fight.
Oh, yeah. It's a constant battle. You win some, you lose some, and then, you know, you're trying to figure out what is it that's going to work. You know, is it going to be some of those prescriptions that you hear about and you see a lot of ads for right now? Is it going to be cold turkey, just willpower? But then yesterday we talked to Sean Wheeler, who's actually a hypnotist, and he's had a lot of success with his clients. So we talked to him about the benefits of hypnotism and how it can help you stop smoking or lose weight or anything, really.
And tomorrow we're going to talk more about losing weight, but a lot of you guys are fighting finances year after year after year. And you promise yourself this is the year that you're going to get out of debt, or this is the year that you're going to organize your financing. And you made that resolution in 1990 and it didn't work. Then 91 and 92, and here we are. You still can't get it down. So we've brought Wes Moss in from Money Matters on News Talk 750 WSB to help you guys out with that. How you doing, Wes?
Good morning. Great.
It's good
Thanks
to see
for having
you,
me. Yeah, good to see you.
Things are going well for you since the reality TV show.
Well, it's been a long time. I mean, 5 years from The Apprentice to now WSB, it's been kind of a long route, but a fun route.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Were you in that first Apprentice?
It was the first year, but it was the second season.
Second season. Okay.
All right, so where do we even start? I think probably people are always feeling like they're in over their heads when it comes to debt. So if the New Year's resolution was, I'm getting myself out of debt this year, what is the first thing that I got to do?
I think so many people have resolutions in their head, but very, very few people actually write it down. And this is something that I've just been doing for just naturally since I think I was in college, is actually writing things down. I'll get confused about what I want to accomplish because I have so many things in my head. And the only way to get some clarity is to write it down. And there's so much power in the pen to actually get it on paper. There was this Harvard study that's a fascinating money story where they took this graduating class from Harvard Business School and they asked them if they had clearly written goals, defined written goals, and 84% of people didn't have them. These are Harvard Business School graduates. 13% had goals but didn't write them, and only 3% actually wrote them down. And they came back 10 years later and talked to these people about their careers. The 13% that actually had goals had double the income of the 84% that didn't.
Wow.
And the 3% that actually had written goals had 10 times the income of the rest of the 97%.
So all we have to do is write our goals down and go to Harvard.
That's, if you can get into Harvard, right, it'd probably be a nice 1-2 combination.
All right, so you write it down and you're really committed, but you're insecure because you don't know how to start. So where's the very first place you got to go?
Okay, so I meet with a lot of individuals that have figured out a way to get to retirement with enough money that they can actually stop working. And that's a really hard thing for Americans to do. Mm-hmm. And they have a couple things in common. They all have a written budget, Okay. They all have never been a slave to debt, or they figured out a way to get out of debt, and they all love their careers. So first, let's start with the budget side of it. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of easy websites and tools to get the budget started. There's mint.com, mm-hmm. which is really popular and very useful.
Jen's talked about that. She loves it.
I'm on that.
Yep. So yeah. Mint's very good. You can go to Quicken, and you can get free mm-hmm. things from Quicken, and that can help keep you keep track. But what I see actually is better, and this is what I do, is to keep it really simple and just do it on your own Excel spreadsheet or your own piece of paper. I have people that I meet with all the time that have lots of money. They have $1 million or more, and they don't have fancy programs. They literally can fit everything in their financial life on a piece of paper. And they'll write down the 15 things they spend money on. And that forces you to actually come up with and recognize everything you're spending your money on, as opposed to a program that says, hey, aren't you spending money here? Aren't you spending money here? So I think if you spend 30 minutes to write down your own budget, better if you can just go in and do it on Excel, is such an unbelievably powerful tool to keep your spending in check. And that is the key to all finances.
Well, what if it's too late for me? I didn't keep my spending in check, and now I'm in debt. So where am I going?
Okay, so you have to then figure out a way to first get out of debt. So people always think about you have to invest, you have to be an investor, but you can't do that until you're one, out of debt, mm-hmm. two, you've built your emergency fund. That emergency fund is 6 months to 12 months of cash. So we always hear about, oh, go ahead and start investing right away. Well, I don't think you really should be investing until you're one, out of debt, two, the emergency fund is built up. So in order to get out of debt, you need to list your credit cards. And I think that rather than even paying the highest interest rate first, just get rid of the smallest credit card balance, and then the next largest, and then the next largest, and work that down. And if it takes you 2, 3, 5 years, that's okay. But you have to get out from underwater before you can really start saving.
Okay, so I think that's good advice right there. Mm-hmm. So if you have a whole bunch of credit cards, you're saying attack the lesser ones first, the least amount first, and then attack the bigger ones.
Absolutely, because you can see your progress if you do it that way. You always hear about saying, well, wait a minute, why don't I pay the 12% credit card debt before the 10% credit card debt, right? Well, that makes financial sense, but you really wouldn't have $10,000 in credit card debt at 15% anyway if you were really doing the math to begin with.
Right. So, right. Math is not as important to you as seeing some sort of progress and chipping away at it. Right?
And that's exactly what I did when I was in my early 20s, coming out of college, mm-hmm. incurring a whole lot of expenses, not recognizing the difference between what you make and actually what you keep mm-hmm. after taxes. And that really helped me. And I remember it took a couple years to get out of debt. But it's very, very powerful to do that.
I think that it's about, I'm sorry, changing your spending too. Don't you think, like, we kind of have this mentality of I want it and I want it now. So that's how people get into credit card debt. So not only do they have to pay them off, but they have to change the way they think about it.
That's somewhat true. I think that we are a penny wise, pound foolish culture. Because you hear a lot about cutting back on little things. You always hear about the Starbucks coffee. You hear about spending too much money on a whole bunch of little things. And then you hear people that say that they are good budgeters, and they brown bag it to work, and they don't go to Starbucks. But then they have a $50,000 car. And I think you see a whole lot of that, or a $1.5 million house. But they scrimp on everything else. You have to really look at the big things, the penny wise versus pound foolish, in order to get your budget in line to begin with.
What do you do when somebody walks into your office and is upside down in their house because of home equity that was so available a couple years ago?
More than 25% of Americans are in that position. Mm. And what happens is that if you are underwater in a house, you either have to come to the table with money to close, to get out of it. You have to make up the difference out of your pocket. Or you have to just continue to pay your mortgage. And you become somewhat of a renter in your own home. However, it's okay. I think we need another cultural shift. I think that we've now recognized again is that houses are to live in, not to flip. Mm-hmm. And if you still like your house, who cares if you're 10% underwater? If your house is a $400,000 balance on the mortgage and it's worth $360,000, are you going to let it go back to the bank? No, you're going to keep paying it if you love your home and raise your family there. And eventually the housing market will come back and you won't be underwater. So unless you're just 50 or 60% underwater on a house, you really should continue to pay for it and live in the house like it was supposed to be lived in.
Here is Sarah. Good morning, Sarah. You are on with Wes Moss. He is the host of Money Matters on Newstalk 750. What's going on?
I have a question. If you recently filed for bankruptcy, and as you know, on your credit report, it stays on there, or I don't know if you know, but it's on your credit report for 7 to 10 years.
Sure.
There are all kinds of avenues out there that say that they can help you repair your credit in a shorter period of time. Are any of those legit?
No, they're not. Most of the time you get sucked in to paying high upfront fees, and they really don't do a lot for you. To repair your FICO score is just a long slog, and it takes time. The only avenues you really can get help for getting your credit better is to go to Consumer Credit Counseling of Greater Atlanta, the nonprofit organization that'll help you do that. And it just takes time. You don't think that someone can promise you for more money to get further into debt that can actually get your FICO score.
We're completely out of debt now. We have no debt. That's the beauty about bankruptcy. We have no debt anymore.
Oh, well, you just want to get it off your credit report?
We need to start fixing our credit report. That's all I need to do.
Yeah, well, it's going to take some time, and you just want to make sure you don't get back into that same situation, and it'll get better and better year after year after year.
Do you recommend people getting consolidation loans?
I would only use that as a last resort. I mean, it used to be so easy to do consolidation loans using your house as the asset. Mm. You know, how many commercials did we used to hear a day about get out of debt? And what they were really pitching you on was pulling money out of your house, and they would do the refinancing. Those were really mortgage companies. That's how they made their money. Mm-hmm. And then Americans found themselves upside down in their houses. So I'm a believer of keeping it really simple, going back to just figuring out a way to list down all your credit card debts and saving enough so that you can put that extra $50 or $100 or $200 a month to paying them down naturally.
Here is Kelly. Hey, Kelly, today we're spending some... No, we're not. We're spending some time on just talking about if your resolution this year is just to get your finances in order and get out of debt. How do you do that?
Well, back to what that last caller said, bankruptcy doesn't just eliminate your debt. That follows you for a really long time, right?
Well,
I mean, she acted like, well, we went bankrupt, now we don't have any debt anymore. Woohoo! Well, you know, that's not the case.
Well, for 10 years, I mean, it does eliminate your debt, but for 10 years, you have that on your credit report. There was a time, I think, where people, like after you got... did the bankruptcy, a year later, you could get money again because there was so much money available. I bet that's not the case anymore.
That was economically a culture of easy credit. So that as all the banks were trying to compete against each other, they each got more lackadaisical as years went on. So what happened is that the companies or corporations made money more and more readily available. Okay. So that even if you filed bankruptcy... one company would say you need to wait 5 years, and then somebody went to four, and then three, and then all of a sudden you could go bankrupt and still get a loan within 30 days.
Whoa.
That's changed, though.
Okay.
Completely changed.
Right.
In fact, I'm still seeing lending standards probably too tight or too heavy, and I think that's going to start relaxing.
Mm-hmm. Here's George. Good morning, George. You're on the Burt Show, Q100.
Morning, guys. How you doing today?
Oh, great. Good. Thank you.
Great. I have a question. I'm going to get laid off soon, and the company's giving me a bonus, nice bonus. Upon leaving, my question is it smarter to pay off my car loan payment than what it is to pay off my credit card?
Well, it depends on the balance. What's the balance of the two, and what are the interest rates?
The balance on my car is about, I want to say, $18,000. Interest rate is at 4.99%.
Okay.
The credit cards, if we put them both together, it's about the same thing. One's about $8,000, the other one's about $10,000, and each one has a low interest rate of 1.99 and 3.99. No, yeah, 3.99.
How much do you have? 6 months of cash in the bank already?
No.
So that if you do not, okay, so you do not. So then I wouldn't pay it off right now at all, because you need liquidity. You need some cushion. I call it this sleep well at night money that absolutely you can get to at any time.
I used to work with a radio guy who called it the FU fund.
Oh, yeah. So if you wanted to leave,
so
you could say
F you
and take off?
Yeah, it's a good thing to have.
It absolutely is more than a financial tool. It's a peace of mind tool. Mm-hmm. And it not only will get you through a rough patch and a tough time, but it'll also, down the line, when you become an investor and you really start to invest in the markets over time, it makes you more patient because you know you have 6 months or a year of emergency money that you can get to at any time. So I would tell you, I would tell our caller to not pay anything off until you find a new job, then start paying off the debt, then start paying off the car.
Joy wanted to know, does it affect your FICO score to close accounts?
It does affect your FICO score to close accounts. So pay the balance down to zero and keep the card open.
Okay. All right, we could do this for hours, but we can't.
Kidding.
But Wes can, and he does, actually. On 750. His show is called Money Matters on News Talk 750, and it's on when?
Sundays from 11 to or from 9 to 11 every Sunday morning.
There you go.
And if you ever need any relationship advice or something like that, then you can have the Burt Show
have
on
you
your
guys on.
Show on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, I'm not getting up Sunday morning to do his show. I'm sorry. Thank Wes. It's good to see you again.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/Scorecard Plus for details.
The Burt Show.
I can't wait to find out the story on how you actually found out about this.
Just first of all, I just want to say I'm so embarrassed.
Why?
I was on Facebook, and of course, this is how I talk to most of my family nowadays. It's sad to say, but you know, some family members I don't get to see but once a year, and this is one of them. And one of my cousins sent me a video, and I'm like, oh, I haven't, you know, really seen this, you know, my third cousin.
What is the label on the video at this point? Is it, hey, catch up with your family? What does it say?
No,
that makes
it comes right out and says it. It says, Nene cussing me out.
And who is Nene?
Nene is my third cousin, and she looks to be about 4. Like I said, I don't know her that well, so I don't know how old she is, but I'm guessing about 4.
And does she live here in Atlanta?
She lives in Manchester, which is like an hour and a half south of here.
Okay.
So past LaGrange, if you know where that is. But yeah, I don't get to see them that much. And I looked at the video and like, oh my God. And it's not like, oh, she said but, or she said something like damn or something. She is like going off. This little child is in the backseat of a car.
She's using the F word?
The F word, the S word, the B word.
It's like Bert during commercials.
She dropped the GD word.
No way, a 4-year-old?
4 years
yes.
old.
Wow.
I'm going to play the audio for you in a second with a bunch
God.
Of beeps and stuff in it.
And is everybody laughing at her?
And that's what makes it so bad. Who's ever recording it, because they never show who's recording it, they're just laughing, egging her on. You know, you're going to get in trouble. It's so funny. No, it's not funny.
Oh, my
goodness. And, of course, she keeps doing it because she doesn't know that it's wrong because, you know, who's ever in the front seat, they're laughing.
And she learned it from her parents, obviously.
Obviously.
And is this video being passed around your family?
Yes. I'm sure everybody that's on Facebook has seen it.
Is anybody else, like, vocalized how upset they are about it?
Not in the comments, because most of the people that are commenting on it are, I guess, her friends.
Okay. And they think it's funny?
They think it's funny. It's hilarious. You know, laughing
so
my butt off.
So that's why the mom posted it?
I guess.
To be like, hey, everybody, look.
Yeah.
This is so cute and funny.
Like I said, they're her friends, so I guess they think it's funny. But I guess if, you know, my first cousin actually knew about it, I don't think she would think it's funny.
Okay.
My brother, if he's seen it, I don't think he would think it's funny.
We need to hear it, yeah. But generally speaking, kids cussing is funny.
This isn't funny because it goes on for so long and they're sort of egging her on and laughing about it. Like, if when a kid drops an accidental S-bomb or something like that,
yeah,
as a parent, inside you're sort of laughing, but you know you have to correct the mistake.
And you never want to let them know that it's funny.
Right. What you'll hear here is them being egged on to where it's almost it's abusive. And if you're letting a four-year-old...
I am embarrassed. I really am.
All right. So the shot here is from the front seat, and it's... the video is right on Natalie's cousin here, who's in like a, it's, I think she's in a child's seat in the back
seat. Yeah, like a little booster seat.
Well, they got that going for them.
Let's shut up.
I'ma get you, Nana.
You gonna get a whipping, girl. Why you gonna tell my mama get out of the car? Cause she gonna get you.
No,
alright, keep going. Keep it coming.
If you don't know, those are the MS.
What? Say it to the camera. You gonna get a whooping, Nana? Yes, you will.
Oh, no way.
Wow. I tell you, you better shut up. I'm gonna whoop you. I'm gonna whoop you, girl. Get out of the car! Like I thought, better shut up.
All right, so sometimes it's tough to make it out there, but it's some of the quotes were, get that effing camera out of my face, get that GD camera out of my face, so MF-er, MF-ing B-I-T-C-H three times, and no, you ain't MF-er out of a four-year-old.
Wow. What did you do when you first saw this?
I mean, all I could say was, you know, I'm embarrassed. I couldn't say anything because, like I said, I don't know them that well. And I probably should have called her mom. That's my first cousin, or her grandmother, rather. Something has to be done because you just cannot let this child go to school like this.
Well, you know, right. Bert knows a DFAX agent real well.
Right. Hey, Joe, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning, Bert.
Hey.
You know, I think part of the problem is, you know, this is what's wrong with society is people make big deals out of words. And when it comes down to it, yeah, four-year-olds really shouldn't be saying those words. But it's not, oh, the earth's coming to an end because the kid said GD or MF.
Well, she's being...
On a whole level, if people would stop taking words so literally, there'd be a lot less problems in this world.
So when she says it to a teacher, it's no big deal. It's just a word.
Well, you
or when
know,
she says it to a cop,
a
it's no big deal.
Yeah. I can call you a bitch, but it doesn't matter.
That'll be a problem.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is it's a problem because you're taking the word too literal.
Well, because 99...
And on a whole scale, and I'm just saying these words, everything. You know, I could call, you know, I could go after people's ethnicity. I could go after people's religion. It doesn't matter.
I disagree with you completely, Joe. I think language is... Hold on, Joe.
Hold on a sec. You had your say. Let us talk, and then we'll continue.
Yeah, okay. I think language is incredibly important, and I think especially for kids to learn some sort of respect for their elders, need to watch their mouths. And, you know, when they're growing up, it should be please and thank you and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir.
Oh,
and I think it's
that.
Incredibly important. Well, language is important, and you're saying you're dismissing it completely, that words can't hurt other people, and I disagree with you.
Is people are conditioned to allow words to hurt them. If you're
well, of course we are.
That,
that's a part being of well, society well, and being able to communicate.
If Bert comes at me, okay, and he starts attacking me, I have enough respect for myself and how I've been brought up where what Bert thinks of me really doesn't matter. So I'm not going to turn around, pull out a Glock, and blow Bert's head off.
It seems like two separate things, though. Like, this
No, it's not because... It is taking it, that's what I'm saying, is people take words out of context all the time.
Joe, it's not about the words. It's not about the specific words. Even if the kid wasn't cussing but was still talking back that way and somebody was encouraging it, it's a respect thing, mm-hmm. and it's a maturity thing. And at 4 years old, you need to know certain things are off limits. Mm-hmm. Language like that, regardless of the philosophy of the word, is not acceptable language in a classroom. Like Natalie said, if a police officer mm-hmm. was talking to him, if a grandmother was talking to him, so there is a responsibility that comes with words. If you want to let them roll off your back, so be it. But you need to know that some words are acceptable in certain situations and some words are not acceptable. We certainly have conversations around each other that we wouldn't have if, you know, with a brand new employee in this room, usually right. during commercials.
Right.
I see what he's saying, but the truth of, in reality, there are limitations to words. There are some that you can use, and there is a respect level, you know. And 99% of the population teaches that. So when you hear that from a 4-year-old, it's disrespectful on any level.
Well,
and
Josh sent a message from
This 4-year-old child's being egged on to say it. She's not innocent and just doing it because there's older people in the car telling her to keep going.
And this is building the foundation for that 4-year-old, mm-hmm. that this is acceptable.
It's
right,
okay.
That it's funny, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Josh wrote, if words don't matter, why'd that guy call in? That's actually a good point.
Hey, Don. Good morning. You're on Q100.
Hi. How are y'all this morning?
Okay. How are you?
I'm good. Well, I can't drive down the road. I had to pull over. I cannot believe that any parent would encourage and laugh at that kind of talk from a 4-year-old. Mm-hmm. First of all, she had to learn it from somewhere. Mm-hmm. Secondly, as a parent with a child going to elementary school, if my child came home from preschool or wherever talking that way, first of all, he'd get in trouble and get his mouth washed out with soap. And secondly, I'd want to know where it came from. I don't want my child near other children like that. And the worst part is, it's not her fault.
Well, I'm sorry to say this about...
She doesn't know any better.
I'm sorry to say this about your family, but my judgment... my judgment would be this, is that if those are parents that allow those words to come out of a 4-year-old's mouth, chances are pretty good that they're not 100% great parents in other areas also.
Mm-hmm.
If that's acceptable there, mm-hmm. then they're not good parents.
Right. I mean, I can't disagree with you.
Good morning. Heather, you're on Q100.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. I was actually calling about the guy that called in, and I heard the lady just call in as well, but I wanted to say that that guy is a complete idiot and clearly he does not have children.
He doesn't care that you think he's an idiot.
It's just a word.
Words don't matter to him.
Right.
Yeah, well, he really is. And if anyone that has children would understand that that's horrific coming out of a child's mouth. And I have a 5-year-old daughter, and if that ever came out of my daughter's mouth, I don't even know. I would come unglued. I would completely come unglued. And if I ever heard my daughter come home from school and say that there was a child in her class saying those type of things, I would be at that school so fast asking mm-hmm. for a teacher conference and asking that child to be removed from my child's class.
Isn't there a point in this video right here where you can identify who the person is? Like, doesn't the person that's taking the video say something about it? Like, is she referring to herself as the mother?
When she says she's going to get a whipping?
Yeah, hold on.
Probably from her mother, but I don't know if she's in the car.
You better shut up. I'm going to get you, Nana. You're going to get a whipping, girl. Why you going to tell my mama to get out of the car? Because she's going to get you.
No,
all right, keep going. Keep it coming.
That GD camera in my face.
It's like every time I hear it, it just bothers me so much.
Just the encouragement and the laughing part is what bothers me. Not so much the language, but that it's okay. That's the part that bothers me the most.
It's like now that everyone is hearing this, I think I have to do something because that just bothers me so much.
Can you imagine if she said that on Santa Claus's lap? Get that GD camera out of my face.
Oh,
I'm sorry. It hurts more when it's your family for sure.
It really
does. Must have been.
But like I said,
floored.
This is my third cousin. I don't see them that often. I don't claim them at this point.
When do you start dismissing them after second cousins? Then they don't count.
Doesn't this make you feel like you need to have kids?
Oh, my kids are not going to come up
this way. People in the world like this have kids. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have children.
Right.
Jeff Dollar doesn't have children. Wendy doesn't have children.
But
these people
what
have
not
children.
To do.
It freaks me out.
I have a Sasha.
And I'm
but
glad
you need a license
Jeff doesn't
to have a dog,
kids.
Don't you?
I'm really glad Jeff doesn't have kids.
The Bird Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story.
If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help.
It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Burt Show.
All right, so Jesse, we talked to him a couple of days ago, and he was all sketched out because he considers himself a 4, and he was asking out a 15. So we said, you know, rather than just go ahead and ask her out on a date, you know, why don't you sort of chip on the wall a little bit and just ask her to go out and study a little bit, you know, so she'll take the friend angle on the whole thing so her wall comes down. So he took our advice, and he goes to the girl, and he says, yeah, let's study. And then she throws a bomb at him that he wasn't expecting.
I went up to her, and I was like, hey, you know, I think I'm not going to be able to do good in this class. Do you think we could set up like a once-a-week coffee thing? And immediately she says, you want to take me on a date, don't you?
She saw right through it.
Wow.
I want to take you out on a date. She says, okay, how about tomorrow?
No way. So I'm like, way.
Yeah, my mind's still spinning. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? So, yeah, I mean, I've got a date tonight.
I can just imagine. I bet that feeling of her saying, let's go on a date, and you just totally not being expecting that.
What?
Like, what?
Huh? Wait, hold on. What?
Okay.
I got to be cool. Okay. I got to be cool. So that date was last night. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you, man?
I'm pretty good.
How'd it go last night?
It went good for the most part.
For the most part?
What does that mean? Okay,
take us through the date from the beginning until the very end.
Yeah, something's not smelling right.
I know.
Okay, well, from the beginning, picked her up. We went down to Barrett Parkway to the Melting Pot.
Ooh,
had
good
a good
choice.
Time. Talked for about 4 hours. Whoa. And just had a good time.
And conversation flowed really easily?
Nope. I mean,
oh, yeah. Probably, I mean, it flowed maybe. Really free. You know, everything was good. But, you know, we both agreed that we just really aren't that good of a match, and that we'd be better off as friends.
You had that conversation,
over like melted
fondue?
Cheese.
Yeah.
When did that happen? I mean, did she initiate that part of the conversation, or did you?
I did.
You did?
What? Yeah.
Dude, you're weird.
No.
When did that happen?
No. Hold this on. Is a great move.
Yeah. No.
Keep on dating and keep on calling the show.
So how did it
happened towards the end? It was just, you know, we started talking, and I got to know her, and she got to know me, and it was sort of just a mutual type thing. So
were you actually
I'm confused.
Turned off by her by the end of the date? Like, she was, I mean, yeah, she's a hottie, but outside of that, she just wasn't for you?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, she's a great person, and we'd be great friends, just not really, we're not dating compatible.
What about her turned you off?
Nothing, really. It's sort of hard to explain.
Was
I mean,
she dumb?
I'm sorry?
Was she not very smart?
Oh, no, she's very smart.
Oh.
So I'm trying to figure out what about her made you not like her or be compatible with her. Like, what happened during the date that made this all happen?
Well, it's mainly just, I guess you could say, her personality. It just sort of clashed with mine a little too much, and it's just not something that I personally
to deal with.
Okay, so, now we're getting into it here. So what was the first red flag, the first conversation you guys were having where you went from, oh, my God, if I had the music of, like, angels singing right now, to you going, wait a second, this might not work?
Well, it's just the way that she would say things. It sort of caught me off guard a couple times. I'm like, huh, well, that's interesting.
Like what?
I can't remember right now. It's way too early.
Well, you got to remember one of them. The woman of your dreams from 36 hours ago has now broken your heart. So there's got to be one thing that stands out in mind. You're like, oh, this ain't going to work.
Was she rude? Was she overly aggressive? Was she just not appreciative? What?
You know, it's not any of that. She was very appreciative. She thanked me. She said she had a fun time. But it's just, I really don't know how to explain it appropriately to where I can get the point across.
Is she kind of a complainer? Is she a negative person?
No, I guess you could say she's cynical.
Cynical.
A little too cynical.
Okay. That's something there.
Sure.
Because, yeah, if you're not a cynical person and somebody is, that would be a definite clash.
But however,
if you don't appreciate their cynicism, maybe.
Here's the flaw in your story, Jesse. Maybe you're a better man than I am when I was single. Is if I'm dating a total hottie. I mean, I have been watching this girl for a while, and I'm on a date with this beautiful thing. And yes, she's cynical. I would be able to get around that for 4 or 5 more dates just to hang out with her and try to sleep with her.
Touch your boobs. Well, yeah. Different standards.
Now, you're saying that, yeah, she was cynical, but she's a hottie, and you're just not that way. The physical part, that's not for you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, I'm a Christian. And I feel the fact that sex is something sacred for marriage.
Okay.
And that's the way I'd like to keep it. So.
What about boobs?
Boobs are nice.
But, I mean, there's nothing in the Bible that says you can't go up a girl's shirt.
Well, yeah, actually.
He wants to be respectful,
I just don't feel like that.
Okay.
It's not the way I roll.
All right, okay. So you're more of a commitment kind of guy, and physically she did it for you, but outside of that, Jeff is shaking his head. He's not buying the story.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
Why?
You're just telling the story to get on the radio.
No.
Why?
No.
He's a Christian guy, wouldn't do that unless it was on the fish.
Yeah. It's okay to lie on the fish if you're a Christian.
Why do you think he's lying?
Because no guy operates this way.
Sounds like he's peacocking a little
bit.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's only a few good guys left in the world, and I think I'm one of them, and that's how we operate.
Good for you.
Shutting the girl down at the end of the first date.
I'm not shutting her down. We're still going to be friends.
He just
have the study dates and stuff, but
you know,
not
there's
actually be involved.
You just know there's no future with this girl. She didn't do anything for you except physically, so you're just going to end it after the first date.
Yeah, pretty much.
If there's no chemistry, there's no chemistry. I don't know why that has to be so weird.
Because you got to think like a guy. You're thinking like a woman here. If a girl is that hot, we can work around her crappy attitude for weeks or months even. In some cases, years.
He's not joking. Like, you know, you know how many guys there are in the history of time? Since God put Adam on earth, do you know how many times a guy has told a super hot girl that they're not compatible at the end of the first date? Zero.
Yeah, let me try to do this, actually. Joanna, clear the phones and find guys that were in a relationship the longest time with a girl that they didn't like but hung out because she was so hot. Okay. Will it be days? Will we find weeks? Will we find months?
Married people.
We have. Yeah. There are married people right now. It's been 25 years.
Yeah.
Man, I wish you would just shut up, but she is hot.
And I think every 100% of guys have done that. There's 3 guys in the room. If you've done it, raise your hand. Thank you.
All 3.
404-741-Q100. If you're a guy and you're in a relationship with a girl that you couldn't stand, but you stayed in because she's so hot, tell us for how long. Hey, Tammy, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, I was just giving the girl's perspective. I mean, maybe she's kind of cynical because people have gone out with her for all the wrong reasons. So that's kind of what she feels like people expect of her. And you know, he needs to give it another try. In 4 hours, you absolutely don't know everything about everybody. They're still on the show, and, you know, you don't really know what you're getting.
All right, thank you. And here is Jeff. Good morning, Jeff. You are on Q100.
hey, yeah, I dated a girl that was a pain in the butt, and I put up with her for 2.5 years.
Yes, you did.
Because she was hot?
How hot was she, man? Was she like a 10?
Yeah, she was up there.
Yeah.
That's admirable. That's, you know what? That's well done. Time.
Yes. If she's that hot and the physical part of the relationship is even remotely good, mm-hmm. you will stick it out for a long time. Hey, Neil, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Okay, how are you?
Good.
How long are we looking at?
Almost a year.
And she was super hot, but just what?
She was psychotic. She was crazy. she lied, told me she was pregnant a couple times.
Wow.
She was just crazy, but she was gorgeous. It happens.
I almost think that's
work around it.
That's the better question to ask, Bert, is not how long did you last, but what crazy thing did you tolerate? Like, what did you put up with and still stay with? Because, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, she stole my car and wrecked it. Really? Yep, drove right into Lake Lanier. Seriously? Yep, stay with her for a year after that. She was so hot.
I told you about Chandra, that girl I was dating, Chandra, at my own party. She flies down a flight of stairs, roundhouses me, almost knocks me to the ground. My knees buckle. And the next day, we go on vacation together.
Stuck it out.
She's hot.
In the bikini.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Real cool. Hey, Kevin, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I was with a girl for 3 years, and merely because she was so hot, there was just no way I could let her go. But she drove me completely nuts, being so high maintenance.
So it wasn't it wasn't one act of craziness. It was just so high maintenance, but it was worth for you to get to cater to it because she was so hot.
Well, she would take my credit card and spend, you know, $500-$600 on a pair of shoes and say I just had to have them.
And she walked in the door and she's so hot. You just said thank you for spending that money.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Can we head this way?
Every guy, like I said, every guy that has done any kind of dating has been in that situation.
It would almost be a fun website to put up a picture of the girl and then the story of next to it of what you put up with in order to tell us. So put up.
And how long?
So you'd have to find a picture of Chandra from, you know, 20 years ago, however long you dated. Put that picture up and go, she punched me in the face in front of all of my friends, and then I took her to the Caribbean the next day. Guys will vote. Was she worth it?
That's a great idea.
Jesse, you are an anomaly, my friend, for sure.
Well, thank you, guys.
All right.
Good luck finding your match.
Hey, thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Hey, The Bert Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now. Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you. They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Bert Show.
It's no secret that parents who have babies or children, I mean, you've essentially purchased yourself when you know, did that deed, when you consummated the relationship and created the child.
Mm-hmm.
You also got with that an excuse for 18 years.
Every infant's permanent middle name should be excuse.
Yes.
Permanent
and
excuse.
And a good one. I can't remember what, Bert, you once gave a percentage. For some reason, I think it was 50%. I asked you years ago, how often when you say you can't do something because of child, how often is it really child-related? And I think your number was like 50%.
Could have been. In the beginning with Hayden, probably 50%. Probably now down to about 20.
Right, because they're getting older, it's harder to do that. But in the beginning, you could just be tired and go, yeah, kid's not feeling well. The kid's sound asleep, been sound asleep for 4 hours, going to sleep for four more.
Got to leave early. The sitter can only stay till 10, even though the sitter could have been there till 2 in the morning.
Lie. Not even with a sitter. Didn't you just keep Hayden in a closet?
In the car.
Yep. So
put him in
don't
the glove
joke
compartment.
About that.
Yeah.
Right.
So the the friends of Jessica's and mine have had babies. We have like three or four babies around us right now. And Jessica and I obviously don't have any kids right now. So I've gone ahead and used other people's children for excuses.
Like what? How have you done that?
Well, like when situations come up where people are like, hey, are you available for lunch, for example? I used this one back in December before the holidays. You know, it's just crazy over the holidays. It's busy. You're doing your last minute Christmas shopping. Every day you go to Target for something. Busy. So when a good friend asks you to lunch, it sounds crappy to say, oh, I can't. I'm just running around. You know what I mean? For like 3 days in a row. So I used Tracy's kid, Ella.
What'd you say?
God, I would love to, but you know, Ella's got a cold. And Tracy's got to bug out every day right at like 10 o'clock.
So you're covering for Tracy. Mm-hmm. So you're using her
child
as an excuse.
Yes.
Nice.
So I used Ella
as an excuse. Very
That's
nice.
Really
yes.
good.
And then we had another situation where we had a couple different invites to do different things over the holidays, you know, the Christmas time. And this is when all the, job stuff was going on. And I didn't really feel like being around people and telling the story 100 times and blah, blah, blah. So it was just Jessica and I hanging out with a couple close friends. Well, these close friends have a kid. So when somebody said, hey, what are you guys doing for the holidays? And we would say, oh, we're going to do this. And we might go up to the lake and just hide out up there. Say, well, why don't you leave a day later and do this? I threw out, well, our friends, we told our friends we'd watch their kid for one night.
And that was
because
the night.
They were going to go out and have a date night. There's no date night.
That'll start to play on you, though, because somebody may legitimately have a reason that they can't hang out with you because of their kid.
Yeah.
And then once they use it, you will assume they're blowing you off.
Because even I though they're not. Like because I've already taken the excuses. Right.
Or do you think these parents are going to ask you to babysit their kids because they think you're so great with kids?
Right. You use the kids as an example all the time.
Gosh, yeah. Jeff, you really are so great.
Oh, guess what? I'm sorry. You want me to come over and watch Hayden? I can. I'm watching Ella Grace. Sorry.
Well, I mean, two is basically the same as one, so...
Just you watch know what? Both, you and Jessica.
Just drop Hollis off at Tracy's house, and when I get there, I'll watch them both.
I would choice with one, two, or three kids. Good morning, Joshua. You're on the Bert Show. Hi.
Hey, Bert.
Hey,
love Joshua. The show.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, a couple weeks back, you were talking about considering participating in a reality show, and I just was interested in knowing what the outcome of that was.
There is no outcome. There has been no update yet. I am just waiting for the creator to tell me if... they want me on the show or not.
The creator of the TV show, not God.
Well done.
Not a capitalized C. I got a couple of texts from her a couple of days ago that indicated that I would have to start making a decision because the tone of the texts were just like, you're going to get picked, so maybe you should start thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got we exchanged voicemail messages yesterday that sort of make me feel like this is something that I'm going to have to make a decision on over the next couple of days.
You're really? Going
to
do wow. it.
I don't, you yeah, know, yeah, I, yeah. I'll be honest with you. Like,
you're going
to
do it.
I want to do it, but I'm really looking at it logically. My gut says no, my heart says yes, but my gut says don't do it. Okay. So once we have the contract in front of us and we can really, you know, sort of connect some of the dots logically and make a decision for the family, once they offer it, then we'll do that. And then it'll be like a 24 or 48 hour process.
Just for the record, your gut and your heart are irrelevant. What does your wife want?
Stacy was leaning towards doing it.
You're going to do it.
Yeah. Stacy wants to do it.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Right.
So,
I got to watch Ella Grace later today.
Joshua, I will let you know as soon as they say yes or no to me and it's a definite, I'll fill you guys in on what comes up next. All right. But right now, there's nothing.
Appreciate it.
Okay, man. Bye-bye.
Take care, guys.
Get it. The Bert Show.